Hi, everyone. Pastor David here again, and thank you so much for joining us for worship online today from Appleton Gospel Church. It's Mother's Day today, and so if you're a mom, I just want to wish you a very happy Mother's Day. May you rejoice in the difficult but wonderful calling of motherhood, however old your babies are today, and may you feel deeply appreciated. That's my hope for you. I hope you have a great day today. If you're watching today and you'd like more information about our church, what we do, or what we believe, or if you're just struggling and you need people to pray with you, I want you to know that we are here for you. Please go to appletongospel.com/connect and let us know what you need. We'd love to help you. Well, today we get to finish our study of the Sermon on the Mount of Jesus. And if you haven't been with us, I'd like to do a little recap of all of the ground that we've covered so far. For thousands of years, and probably as long as there have been people, people have asked, what is the good life? Is there a way that human beings ought to live that leads to happiness and joy and satisfaction? And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus lays out his vision for what the good life is all about. And the big idea of this whole series is that the good life is found by following the distinct way of Jesus. It's a unique way, a different way from all of the many ways to live out there in the world. But the way of Jesus is the only way that truly leads to an abundant life, a blessed life. It's not an easy life, as we've seen, but it is the good life. So in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that your desire to be a good person is right, but you need a greater righteousness than your own. You need the very righteousness of God that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. And this way of righteousness, this way of goodness, has certain values. This way values life. It values truth. It values faithfulness in marriage and open-handedness towards those who are in need. The way of Jesus is the way of costly love and the way of humble generosity. And in his teaching on all these things, Jesus radically and consistently challenges some of our commonly held beliefs about the moral life or what it means to be a good person. Jesus moves from the moral life to the religious life or what it means to live a life of faith. And he challenges our assumptions about the religious life, warning us that it's possible to do religious things in order to get the approval or the attention of other people, and God doesn't even really need to be involved, which is scary. So we considered giving to the poor and prayer and fasting as examples of a life of faith. Then Jesus moves from the religious life to challenging our inner life or to some of the common issues swirling around in our hearts. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, as we considered worry and idolatry and being judgmental of other people, it was a little disconcerting realizing all of the junk that can be going on in your heart. But how good was the invitation of Jesus to find his way of peace and personal growth? In the final section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus first gives this incredible picture of how God thinks about you. That as our Father in heaven, he thinks of us as wildly loved sons or daughters in Christ. And again, there's this open invitation for all people to join the family of God. Finally, last week, we considered this strong warning against being deceived or led astray by a false prophet or a false teacher. And we saw six different ways to recognize a wolf in sheep's clothing. And if you missed any or all of those messages, you can always go back and watch them on our YouTube channel or listen to the audio podcast on our website or wherever you listen to podcasts. But all of that brings us to today, our final teaching from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. So if you have your Bible or Bible app, please take them and open them to Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. And we're going to pray, and then we're going to jump into this teaching together. So please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this day. thank you for another opportunity to gather online, to learn from you, and to give praise to you. Would you give us strength and courage and faith to be able to not just hear and understand and believe your word, but to put it into practice in our lives by the power of your Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Okay, so Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. This is God's word. Okay, so next Sunday, we get to start a brand new sermon series called Healing a Troubled Heart that I hope will address some of the things that many of us have been struggling with during this COVID-19 crisis. Some of the things we'll talk about anxiety and loneliness and guilt and depression and grief. And so it's so important for you to know all of the spiritual resources that are available for you to find hope and strength and peace in this crisis. But first things first, let's finish this series. So look back at verse 24 with me. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, the word everyone means Jesus is again standing with open arms with an invitation to all people. This is an open invitation. Come, all of you, come to me, Jesus says. Follow me, trust in me. Anyone can come and find wisdom and stability and strength and unshakable faith. How, Jesus? By hearing these words of mine, Jesus says, and putting them into practice. Now, Jesus is referring not only to the words of the Sermon on the Mount here, but to all of his teaching. Throughout this series, we've been talking about the good life. And Jesus says that the good life is not found in simply storing up wise sayings in your memory, or in learning new facts, or in developing a new philosophy for your life. It's in the implementation, it's in the doing of his teaching that we find the good life. Now, this comes as a relief to me, because this means that you don't need to know everything in order to be a Christian. There is a vast ocean of knowledge in the world that God has made, and no one but God knows all things. But what you do know to be true about the moral life, about the religious life, about the inner life, about the good life, what you do know you need to do. Nor do you need to understand everything to be a Christian. There are some hard teachings in the Bible, hard to understand, and there are some great mysteries in the person of God and the work of God. But the things that you do understand, I guarantee you could spend the rest of your life seeking to live them out, and that would not be a bad life at all. Now, I don't believe that Jesus is ever preaching a gospel of ignorance, that learning or knowledge are bad. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And so Christians should not be afraid to do the hard work to learn and wrestle with difficult texts and grow in our knowledge of the truth. It's part of loving God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Nor should Christians hesitate to pursue knowledge elsewhere, such as science or economics or medicine or any of the other fields that God uses to provide for the common good. But the goal of Christianity is not just to gain more and more information. The goal is transformation. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed into what? Into the likeness of Christ, into the way of Christ, into all the fullness of who you were created to be in Christ. That is the goal. He is the goal. And this is the journey that we are on by the grace of God as a church. It's a journey of change. It's a journey of progress. How? By the renewing of our minds. Well, what does that mean? It means to hear and believe more and more truth and allow our thoughts to be renewed and redeemed and redirected by the truth. But when the thoughts of our minds are transformed, how could our words and our emotions and our deeds and the direction of our life not change as well? So what you do will reveal the footprint of your faith. Jesus gives a powerful illustration of this, saying that the one who hears him and does what he says will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Look at verse 25. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. So, do storms avoid the person of faith? No. We live in a broken world. Storms happen. Viruses happen. Accidents happen. Illnesses happen. And none of these things should surprise us. What we need in this broken world is a resilient faith. Resilient faith is a faith that holds up and holds us up in the storms of life. Resilient faith is a faith that doesn't fall when it's beaten and battered. Jesus says that resilient faith is a faith that has its foundation on the rock. It's unshakable. So when you hear the words of Jesus and you put them into practice, there is wisdom there. There is stability there. There's security there. But by way of contrast, look at verse 26. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So here again, Jesus reveals two ways to live, two paths, one leading to wisdom and life, and the other leading to foolishness and ultimately to destruction. So without a resilient faith, what happens? Well, during good times, during sunny days, during times of prosperity, maybe not much happens. When things are going well and there isn't a global pandemic, like when we can get back to some sort of normal life again, you have enough food and you have enough money in the bank and you're having fun. Does anybody stop and think about what the foundation of their life is built on? No, of course not. It's only when rain starts falling and the stream starts rising. It's only when there is danger or disruption or pain that we realize our life had no foundation. Now, many people build their lives on having fun or on making money or on raising kids. And those things are not necessarily bad things, but they will not hold you up during the storm. They're not strong enough. They're not enough. They are very shakable. And so if your life is built on having fun, what happens if you get cancer one day? Or if your life is built on making money, what happens if you lose your job? Or if your life is built on raising kids, what happens if you struggle with infertility? Or if not, what happens when they move out one day? The wise man, the wise woman will build their house on the rock of Christ Jesus. And during the storms of life, they will not fall. They will endure and perhaps even flourish. God's word is like water. Human beings need water. If you stop drinking water as an athlete, you could die of dehydration in just a matter of hours. But even if you're not an athlete, without water, you would die of dehydration in a matter of just a few days. But what if you know that water is necessary for life? Does that help? No, not necessarily. What if you believe that water is what you need for life? Does that help? No. What if you kept water nearby you at all times, like it's right on your bedstand at every night? Would that help you? No. You need to do something with it. You need to drink it in order to live. And in the same way, God's word, including the teaching of Jesus, the word of God made flesh, are not helpful unless you do something with it, unless you put it into practice. It's not enough to know that God wants you to love your neighbor or believe that God wants you to love your neighbor. You must actually figure out how to love your actual neighbor. That is the will of God for your life. In James chapter 1, verse 22, it says this: "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." That's pretty clear. But what do you think the deception is that he refers to here? I think it can be deceiving to read the Bible or study the Bible or listen to good preaching or Bible teaching, because the very act of listening and learning can seem very good and spiritually helpful. But it's deceiving because what is really good, what really develops resilient faith, is not simply to nod along to the Word of God, but to allow it to actually shape you and direct you and learn obedience to it. Listen to the words of Jesus at the end of Matthew's gospel, known as the Great Commission. This is after the death of Jesus on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. He comes to his disciples, his followers, and says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Not just teaching, but teaching people to obey, to do, to put it into practice. So our passage today ends in verse 28. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Ouch, if you're a teacher of the law. But, well, people were blown away by the teaching of Jesus. They'd never heard anything like it. He spoke and taught with an authority that they weren't used to. He didn't offer his opinion or his interpretation on the law of God or the character of God or the will of God for people. He presented his word as the absolute truth, which is insane. Unless Jesus is actually the Son of God sent from heaven, unless Jesus is fully God and fully man, unless Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be. And does not the wisdom of the teaching of Jesus attest to this fact? Does not the depths of his moral, spiritual, and psychological insights reveal the mind of God and not simply a good teacher? The more I study the Bible, the more I am convinced that it is the word of God. Nobody, no one anywhere could make this up. But if it is the word of God, then it must be the authority over us in our actual life. It's amazing to me how optional Bible study is for so many who claim to be followers of Jesus. How can the Word of God have any power in your life if you ignore it much of the time? The weakness that I see in the faith of so many Christians is tragically unnecessary. For the ability to have a resilient faith is available to all. But like the first disciples of Jesus, there is a price that must be paid. There is a cost we must consider. We too must be willing to leave behind everything when Jesus says, "Come and follow me." Those first disciples, Peter and Andrew, James and John, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they left behind jobs and families and homes and their whole way of life in order to follow Jesus. But what did they find as they followed his way? They found a Lord who loved them. They found a Savior who saved them. They found a brand new purpose that was powerful for their lives. They found a new family in the church to journey alongside, and they found a faith that was resilient. It was unshakable, no matter what storm raged against them. And what was the result? The whole world was changed forever by the resilient faith of just a few. God took the meager offering of obedience of the disciples and multiplied it countless times over and over, even to this day. And that's the kind of life that I want to have. That's the kind of story that I want told about my life. He built his life on the rock of Christ Jesus. He followed the way of Jesus because he knew Jesus and he trusted in him. And by the grace of God, he stood firm to the end. It wouldn't be an easy life, but it would be the good life. Is that the type of life that you want? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you again for this time. Thank you for the challenge and the wisdom of your word. Thank you for revealing the truth about who you are and your great love for us in Christ. Lord Jesus, I pray that your word would have authority over us. And if there are areas in our life where we are failing or resistant, hesitant for some reason to submit them in obedience to you, I pray, Lord, that you would reveal those areas of our lives to us, and that you would give us the strength and the courage and the faith to turn them over to you today. Holy Spirit, would you do a powerful work of transformation in our lives, not for our glory, but for your glory and our joy. God, we love you, and we pray all this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.